As the number of people hospitalized with COVID-19 in Illinois continues to climb, the state health department is changing how it defines hospital capacity.
We can't look only at the number of empty beds, but also the ability of the hospital to staff those empty beds.
That's Dr. Ngozi Ezike. I'm Dana Vollmer, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Tuesday, November 24th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now, let's lead off with the latest on the coronavirus in McLean County. Ryan Denham has more.
First, the good news. The county's testing positivity rate and hospital capacity issues both improved yesterday. The positivity rate dropped to 8.3%. That's the lowest it's been in over 2 weeks. It's also on the decline across Region 2. And the McLean County Health Department says hospital capacity in Bloomington Normal looks a bit better. 84% of ICU beds and 86% of overall beds are now in use. That's actually better than on Friday. One caveat with all this is that the state health department says it's changed how it defines hospital capacity. Director Ngozi Ezike says the state asked hospitals around Illinois to only count a bed as available if they can properly staff it within 4 hours.
But without doctors or nurses or respiratory therapists or other healthcare workers that can actually care for the patients, it really doesn't matter how many beds you have.
Ezike says after the hospitals made the change in reporting their metrics last week, there was a drop in overall hospital bed availability statewide. Meanwhile, McLean County saw its 49th COVID-related death reported yesterday, a woman in her 90s who lived in a long-term care facility. To date, nearly half of McLean County's COVID deaths have been associated with nursing homes and assisted living facilities. 11 facilities in McLean County are now considered to have open outbreaks by state measures. That includes a new outbreak at Bloomington Rehab, which last spring was one of the first places hit by an outbreak in McLean County. That episode killed 11 people. This newest outbreak has led to 2 confirmed cases so far. I'm Ryan Denham.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. The town of Normal has launched a small business relief program using federal funds. Eligible businesses can get up to $15,000 in grants in 3 broad categories. The field of candidates running for mayor of Bloomington is now set after yesterday's filing deadline. They are businessman Michael Straza, current council member Mboka Mwamwe, and former county board candidate Jackie Gunderson. Educator Misty Metros will run as a write-in candidate. In Normal, there are 9 candidates running for 3 town council seats, not enough to trigger a primary, meaning they're all on the ballot next April. The candidates include incumbent Kevin McCarthy, Scott Preston, and Kimberly Cummings, plus Donna Toney, A.J. Zimmerman, Carl Sela, Brad McMillan, David Paul Blumenschein, and Steve Harsh. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Prairie Pride Coalition turns 25 this month. The nonprofit advocates for equality for the LGBTQIA+ community in McLean County. The small but mighty group formed in 1995 to press the city of Bloomington to include gay, lesbian, and bisexual people in its human rights ordinance. Coalition President Dave Bentland says their success was not instantaneous.
Both the city of Bloomington and the town of Normal initially defeated the amended ordinances in 96, I believe, was the year that happened. But we kept working as an organization after that, got involved in some community activities, tried to increase the level of education and awareness of LGBTQ issues in the community. And so in the early 2000s, I believe 2001 and 2002, both the Normal Town Council and the Bloomington City Council readdressed the issues of the ordinances, and both of those councils amended their human rights ordinances to include gay and lesbian and bisexual people, protections in jobs, in public accommodations, in a variety of different areas. So it was a prolonged effort. We knew that we had a learning curve that we had to approach, and that we had to overcome. But I think that that period of time gave us an opportunity to get out into the community and to raise awareness. And I think that that time allowed us an opportunity to change minds on both the Bloomington City Council and the Normal Town Council.
What do you think the impact is for communities that don't have these kinds of organizations, where there's kind of not the sense of community and an organized push to get these kinds of things enacted?
In 1995, when we first organized, it was sort of a new concept for some of our downstate communities to have community LGBTQ organizations. Up until that point, a lot of us relied on the Chicago area for our networking in terms of LGBTQ activism. And at some point, we realized that there's a large number of us who don't live in the Chicago area. We want to live in the area where we were raised or where we went to school or where our careers are located. And that was true for a lot of people in Bloomington Normal. And I think that was the impetus to get us involved and get us started in 1995, because there was a significant LGBTQ community. And we decided that we needed to organize and we needed to, if not have a unified voice, at least have a representative voice.
And I'm curious, just kind of anecdotally, how far you've seen the community at large come on some of these issues over time.
I think in the time when I first started working with what was then called the Advocacy Council, everybody pretty much considered Bloomington Normal to be a conservative area. And I think to a large extent that still remains. But I think that in terms of social issues, the area has changed over the years. And I think that it's not just due to what Pray Pride Coalition does in the community, but what so many other organizations do in the community to raise awareness of these issues, whether it's LGBTQ issues, whether it's minority issues. These volunteer organizations like Pray Pride Coalition have really stepped up to fill a void, an information void. And I think that over time, organizations like ours have been able to bring a different perspective to the community. While this may in some ways still be a conservative community, it can be a community where we can all thrive to a certain extent.
That's Prairie Pride Coalition President Dave Bentlin. For more information on Prairie Pride's 25th anniversary celebrations, go to WGLT.org. That's it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.